Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Monday, November 4th. I'm Lauren Schmidt, reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, everything you need to know about the 2024 general elections. Stay tuned. Tomorrow, Tuesday, November 5th, is Election Day, featuring a range of local, state, and national races. Voters will decide on city council seats, local measures, district races for Congress and Assembly, propositions, and on the national stage, the highly anticipated presidential race. While all active registered voters in California received a vote-by-mail ballot, there will be 14 in-person vote centers across Humboldt, located in Arcata, Fortuna, Eureka, Rio Del, Ferndale, McKinleyville, Hoopa, and Garberville. Those polling locations will open from 7 a.m. until 8 p.m. Tuesday evening. In Eureka, locations include the Humboldt County Office of Elections, the Humboldt County Office of Education, the Jefferson Community Center, the Eureka Veterans Memorial Hall, and the College of the Redwoods Gym. In Arcata, on the Cal Poly Humboldt campus at the Jolly Giant Commons and the Arcata Community Center. Locations in McKinleyville include the McKinleyville Middle School on Central Avenue and the Center at McKinleyville at Hartwood Drive. Fortuna's Vote Center includes the Fortuna Veterans Memorial Hall. In Rio Del, Monument Middle School at 95 Center Street. In Ferndale at the Humboldt County Fairgrounds in Balati Hall. In Garberville at the Redwood Playhouse, and in Hoopa at the neighborhood facility located off of Highway 96. You can see the full list on the Office of Elections website at humboldtgov.org/elections. All Humboldt County vote centers allow you to vote in person, use accessible voting machines, access voting materials in multiple languages, and offer same-day voter registration, so you can cast a provisional ballot on the same day you register. You can also drop off your vote-by-mail ballot at any vote center. Unlike in previous years, you no longer need to vote at an assigned precinct. Humboldt County voters can choose any vote center.
If you live in Hoopa, but work in Fortuna, and it's more convenient for you to pop into a vote center and vote in Fortuna, you can go ahead and do that. We are able to accommodate that. You don't have to go to a place that you were assigned because you weren't assigned any place in particular.
That was Humboldt County's Clerk Recorder and Registrar of Voters, Juan Pablo Cervantes, speaking with us in a previous interview. He also shared a new way for voters to cast their ballot in this election.
We gave it a trial run in the primary, and we really liked how effectively and secure it kept things. One of the questions we've received historically is, I got my vote by mail ballot in, and when I show up to vote in person, I have to surrender it, and they give me another ballot and vote on it. Can I just vote the ballot that was mailed to me and put it in the ballot box at a vote center? And we'll have a new way to do that. So we'll have an express lane where if you voted that vote by mail ballot that we sent you and you bring it into a vote center because you want to vote in person, you can get in your own special line, check in, sign our roster, and place it directly into the ballot box. So that'll be an express way to get your vote in.
He explained that the Humboldt County Office of Elections has conducted its logic and accuracy testing, which ensures the election and voting equipment function as expected and accurately count votes as marked.
That's something that we do according to law. I think it's state and federal law. And it's a mechanism whereby we check to make sure that the computers that we use are doing what we tell them to do. And so we have a test set of ballots that we've pre-marked, and we know, you know, what the result should be with that test deck, and we run that test deck through the voting system and confirm that you know, if you mark yes on measure 2050, that it records yes on measure 2050.
No issues were noted during this year's test, but he says his office has received other concerns from voters.
One of the big things that I keep hearing about, and we've gotten a fair amount of calls on, is regarding non-citizens voting. That's something that doesn't happen in California. There are laws in place that create some really punitive consequences if a non-citizen attempts to register to vote and vote. We have mechanisms in place to check everything. So when you fill out your voter registration card, you give us a bunch of information. We give you a voter ID, and then we investigate that information. We check your name, your social security, driver's license, date of birth with DMV records and social security records, and verify that you are indeed who you are and that you're eligible to vote.
When asked if undocumented individuals voting has occurred locally, he says,
I don't think it's happened at all in Humboldt County that we've looked through. We do investigate everything. We've seen, you know, dual voting is something that we've caught and sent to the district attorney's office and reported up to the state. And we've caught that. And so part of our certification process is we're kind of buttoning down the hatches, making sure everything is ship shape in the process. And that's why it takes so long. But when it comes to non-citizens voting, that's just not something. The data that I've seen, you know, out of the, I think it's called the Brennan Center out of Harvard, is that they did an investigation for 2016. And out of every ballot cast in that election, they found something like 40 instances of a non-citizen attempting to vote. And that's kind of a staggering number when you think about it, 40 out of the entire nation. So that number out of millions of voters. So it's not something that happens often. It's not statistically significant. And when, you know, there's attempts to do it, we definitely do everything we can to prosecute that kind of crime.
He reiterated that checks and balances are in place to ensure a safe and fair election.
I think we have the Cadillac system of ensuring election integrity when it comes to that. We have that threefold process. We have that logic and accuracy test that I just talked about that we do before ballots even go out, just to make sure everything's working correctly. And then our scanning, all of that process is open to the public. So folks can watch us do the work if they're interested in coming into our office when we're scanning or checking or processing ballots. And then we do a 1% manual tally after we've gotten all the ballots in. So we'll randomly pick out 1% of the batches of ballots. It's usually more than 1%. We always go a little more than we have to, just because we wanna make sure we're auditing ourselves as much as possible within reason. And then beyond that, we take it a step further than I think anyone else in the state. And many folks in Humboldt County know about the Transparency Project, but I always love to brag about them and highlight the dedicated work these volunteers do. They're a third-party nonprofit separate from the elections office that, while maintaining a solid chain of custody in collaboration with us, they scan every ballot and make it so that those numbers can be compared. So they use their own machines, their own software, and they're able to highlight if there's any kind of inaccuracies of counting, if, you know, there's more or less. And back when they were created, they were responsible for a voting system being decertified by the state because they found a discrepancy. And so the work they do is just that extra step that when you combine that logic and accuracy test, that 1% manual tally, and the work of the Transparency Project, I can't see how you can get to a better place. The problem with hand counting is that it you know, humans weren't, we haven't evolved to count, you know, large numbers, and ballots come in large numbers. And so anytime you start to hand count anything, you're going to find discrepancies. And the research has shown that. And so hand counting, I think, leads to less accuracy, and it doesn't really provide much in the way of value. Doing the 1% is something that you have to be really methodical about in order to do it accurately. To go to a 100% manual tally would just, in order to do it correctly, would just take a significant amount of time.
If you haven't yet registered to vote, Cervantes says there is still time.
Because in California, we'll figure it out up until the day. And, you know, the longer you wait, it might be, there might be more to the process. So if you're showing up on election day, you may have to vote what's called the conditional provisional ballot. That just means we're going to register you, have you cast your ballot into an envelope, we'll confirm your registration, and then count your ballot. All those ballots do get counted when they're for eligible voters.
He encourages all eligible residents to make a plan and get out to vote. And once you cast your vote, you can track it online.
Where's My Ballot is the name of the website. It's wheresmyballot.sos.ca.gov. Again, wheresmyballot.sos.ca.gov. You could sign up for it where you get an email or a text or even a phone call. And you'll get called when the ballot gets mailed to you. You'll get called when the post office gets your ballot as you're mailing it back to me. You'll get messaged when I receive the ballot and when your ballot gets counted. And if there's any issues, so say you forget to sign your ballot, you'll get a notification letting you know that there's an issue with your ballot in terms of the signature. And you'll also get something in the mail and a phone call directly from my office when that happens as well. We're trying to cure those missing signature ballots.
Anyone with questions, comments, or concerns can contact the Humboldt County Office of Elections at 707-445-7481. The League of Women Voters has also established a nonpartisan online resource for voters for all things elections. That website is www.vote411.org. You can also join KMUD News Tuesday evening for our live election coverage from 7 p.m. to midnight. We will have a comprehensive, in-depth analysis of national, state, and local races, featuring real-time interviews, updates, and insights with talk show hosts Jimmy Derschlag, Dave Frank, Eric Kirk, and the KMUD News team, featuring myself, Lauren Schmidt, and Lisa Music. We're inviting the public to join the conversation by calling 707-923-3911. You can also tune in to our live stream on the KMUD News Facebook page or watch on Access Humboldt Channel 8 or Wave Channel 7. Turning to Mendocino, poll workers update on appropriate voting day attire. KZYX's Elise Cox reports.
As of Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m., 63,657,544 Americans had voted nationally in a combination of early voting and mail-in ballots. In California, 6,010,176 people had voted. In Mendocino County, 18,000 people had mailed in ballots. To put that in perspective, nationally, roughly one in every 3.25 registered voters have voted. Here in Mendocino County, an even greater percent of voters have voted. Roughly one in every 2.85 registered voters have voted. Given historical trends, the election could well be halfway over. Only 57% of registered voters voted in the 2020 presidential election in Mendocino County. Nationally, 66% of registered voters cast a ballot. The fact that so many ballots have been cast means that long lines are not expected at local polling places where people can come and turn in their mail-in ballots, or if they've spoiled their ballot and need a new one, they can request and cast a provisional ballot. The Registrar of Voters held a poll worker training on Thursday afternoon in Fort Bragg to ensure that all election workers are well-versed in the myriad of voter questions and concerns that have been expressed over the years. Tess Alban Smith is a council member for the city of Fort Bragg. She's been working elections for about a decade. She'll be an inspector at the polling place at the Mendocino Fire Station. By now, she's heard or seen almost everything. I asked her to share some common questions.
When will my vote be counted? Which whole, should I put it in a box? How do I keep this private? What if I voted on the machine, would it go faster? Which is not true.
Did you need help?
And then why do I need to be professional when I voted here every year lasting 20 years, and all of a sudden you say I haven't got a ballot.
See you on Monday.
I don't understand.
In addition to learning about provisional ballots and why they're necessary, they make it easier to ensure that no one's vote will be counted twice. Poll workers learned what voters can and can't wear to the polls. They can't wear anything with a candidate's name, so caps or shirts that say "Vote Trump" or "Vote Harris" are verboten. But MAGA attire is okay. Registrar Voters Katrina Bartlamay explains.
So the state has deemed MAGA as not a, it's a slogan, but it doesn't have the candidate's name.
Okay.
So what the state is concerned about is the candidate's name. Candidate's name is considered electioneering, and that cannot be within 100 feet of the entrance to a polling place.
Poll workers also learned about ballot tracks. That's ballot, T-R-A-X. An online service which allows voters who have mailed in their ballots to see if their ballots made it to their registrar's office. You will need to enter your name, date of birth, and zip code. In other election news, the Electoral Count Reform Act, which was passed in 2022, was designed to help the nation avoid the chaos of the election in 2020. Among other things, it makes it more difficult for members of Congress to raise objections to the count. Difficult, but not impossible. And that could well happen. Jenna Peterson from CalMatters reports.
Only 4 of the 12 Republicans representing California in Congress have confirmed they will uphold the election results. While none of these Republicans have publicly stated they would not certify the election, most Republican incumbents and GOP swing district challengers did not respond when CalMatters asked if they would certify the vote. Those include Doug LaMalfa, Kevin Kiley, Vince Fong, David Valadeo, Jay Obernolte, Mike Garcia, Michelle Steele, Daryl Issa, and Matt Gunderson, candidate for the toss-up 49th District in San Diego County. These candidates have also not publicly confirmed anywhere else that they'd certify. John Fleischman, former executive director of the California Republican Party, says he believes all of California's congressional Republicans will certify. It's just politically safer to not weigh in publicly.
You don't really want to inflame kind of the conservative grassroots side either, because you need them for your get out the vote. So this is an issue that's divisive for Republicans, and so I don't think they want to talk about it much.
In January 2021, 7 of the 11 California Republicans in Congress refused to certify the 2020 election, boosting former President Donald Trump's false claim that he lost in a rigged vote.
If you end up mailing your ballot on Election Day, it will obviously not be counted on the same day. However, the U.S. Post Office has pledged to deploy extraordinary measures and to do its best to get your ballot to the office within 7 days. For KZYX News, I'm Elise Cox.
In state news, conservation groups speak out in favor of Proposition 4. Suzanne Potter reports.
On this year's California ballot, Proposition 4 hasn't got a lot of attention, but it could have a huge impact on the Golden State. The $10 billion bond measure would be the largest conservation investment in state history. Opponents argue the state can't afford to take on billions more in debt. But Pamela Flick with the nonprofit Defenders of Wildlife says Prop 4 would be an effective way to address some of California's biggest problems.
California faces devastating wildfires, vulnerable drinking water supplies, extreme summer heat, and other major threats from a changing climate. Proposition 4 tackles our most urgent climate needs today before the damage becomes too costly and unimaginable.
Prop 4 would dedicate $3.8 billion for ensuring drinking water and increasing water supplies. It earmarks $1.5 billion for wildfire prevention, $1.2 billion to protect important wildlife habitat, and $1.2 billion to protect the coastline and prepare for rising sea levels. The rest of the money would go toward energy infrastructure and programs to help farmers combat extreme heat. Flick says California's ecosystems have evolved with fire for millennia, but a series of megafires over the past decade have devastated some forest ecosystems.
Severe fires pose the biggest impact to wildlife and its habitat because it's so much harder for those areas that were burned severely to bounce back and provide important habitat for species.
The heightened wildfire risk in California has already led some insurance companies to raise rates steeply or stop insuring homes altogether in certain areas. So backers say Prop 4 is an important step to protect the value of people's homes. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
In national news, KMUD had an opportunity to speak with our representative for the North Coast, Congressman Jared Huffman, who shared this update on the 2024 election and the implications its results may have for the future of our country.
Congress has been out of session the whole month, and this is what happens in a campaign year right before the election. So most of my colleagues are fanning out to battleground states or working their own districts. I've been doing both of those things. Just got back last week from Arizona. The week before that, I was in Pennsylvania. So it's a lot of campaign and political work right now, and I think all of us are ready for that to be over with Tuesday.
There is a chance that Democrats could take control of Congress. Can you share your thoughts on any key races you're following and what this might mean if Democrats are successful?
You know, so the narrative out there, Lauren, is that this is just crazy close. Everything is tied. And, you know, all these polls are coming in and they're all showing, you know, basically within the margin of error stuff. In so many different races, especially at the top of the ticket. That may well be the case. And if it is, then in the House of Representatives, you know, conventional wisdom is Democrats may eke out a very narrow majority. I think we are likely to win back the House, but I think there's a chance it could be quite narrow. And that's really important because if you think about what's going to happen on January 6th of 2025, that joint session of Congress that certifies the election is in the House chamber, in the House of Representatives. And I think it makes a big difference whether Hakeem Jeffries is holding the gavel, presiding over that session. The vice president will technically preside, but the Speaker of the House will convene it. Or whether it is Mike Johnson, who has shown a history of doing whatever Donald Trump tells him to do. And I think we all want to have a peaceful transfer of power and election integrity. And you just have to worry about it if someone like Mike Johnson is in charge.
I know many of my colleagues have been advised to brace themselves for potential unrest on Election Day and leading up to the transfer of power. We've already seen incidents like ballot boxes being burned. Do you have any insight on potential security threats between tomorrow and January?
I mean, not specifically, Lauren, but I think everybody should brace for turbulence for sure. Now, that ballot box burning thing in the state of Washington and Oregon is really disturbing. And, you know, I don't know for sure, but I am hearing rumors that it was far-left activists, that the Antifa lunatics, and that it was the same person that burned, that vandalized in Portland and then burned in southwestern Washington state, those ballots. That race in Washington state, by the way, my colleague Marie Glusenkamp-Perez is in one of the closest races in the country. And the fact that something like 1,500 ballots in an early voting drop-off center were vaporized because of some idiot is really disturbing. I mean, that could affect the outcome in a close election that, you know, decides which party has the majority in the House of Representatives. So it's just insane that people do these kinds of things. But I do think those were one-offs. I think it was the same person and, you know, hopefully an isolated incident.
What will happen if Kamala Harris assumes the presidency, or if Donald Trump returns to the office?
Well, those are a couple of real polarities, very different scenarios. Let me first say that I'm really hopeful and confident to some degree that Kamala Harris is going to win. I realize there's this narrative out there that everything is just tied. This is going down to the wire, going to be the closest election in history. I think there's a good chance that narrative is wrong. And I say that because Donald Trump has a ceiling on the amount of support he can get. And his closing argument in the final weeks and months of this campaign has not tried to reach out to anyone new and different. It has been all about just raising the excitement level and the temperature in his extreme base of supporters. And that doesn't grow your support. It just kind of helps ensure the turnout of the people you already have. Kamala Harris is running to represent everyone. I mean, she's campaigning with Liz Cheney and other Republicans. Arnold Schwarzenegger, our former Republican governor, endorsed her today. And so she's just really broadening her appeal in such an impressive and unusual way that I think will make a difference. The other big one that I think will make a difference is women and young people. You know, the idea that angry men, you know, there just aren't enough Hulk Hogan, testosterone-infused angry men in the country to win for Donald Trump. But there are enough women and young people for Kamala Harris to win, and I'm counting on that to carry the day. And if those groups turn out, and these Haley Republicans and calmer, more sensible Republicans follow the lead of Liz Cheney and others, it may not be all that close. Kamala Harris could win in a huge popular vote landslide, and she could give something in the range of 300 popular votes. And that's kind of what I'm putting my neck out and predicting right now.
There could, however, be a reality where Donald Trump wins the vote. Congressman Huffman, if Donald Trump is reelected, do you truly believe that he would implement Project 2025 and pursue a more authoritarian style of governance?
I believe he will try, no doubt about it. This is not a drill. When we talk about Project 2025, when you know these people who have been some of the closest insiders in Donald Trump's orbit are making this 911 message to the world and to the country saying this man is a fascist. He's dangerous. He cannot be trusted with power. We're talking about the longest serving chief of staff Trump had. We're talking about his former Secretary of Defense, other people, his former Secretary of State. They've told us things that are so deeply disqualifying. And that's based on what he tried to do in his first presidency. If he gets another chance, he now has this cloak of absolute immunity from the Supreme Court. And we know he's facing all this legal exposure and other things, or whatever awaits him after the White House. So he would have everything to gain and nothing to lose to just go all in on wrecking the checks and balances of our democracy. And he has indicated he's going to do that in some really draconian ways for our individual freedoms, for you know, values like civil rights and civil liberties. It's disturbing, and it's not a drill. It's real.
And finally, Congressman Huffman, you are also on the ballot for California's District 2. Is there any final message you would like to share with voters as they prepare to cast their ballots?
I really appreciate that, Lauren. So look, I love this work I do. I'm not going to pretend that it's a happy time to serve in Congress. It's really quite an unpleasant time. But the work is super important and consequential. And I know and love this district really well. So I'm hoping that I get two more years to go to Congress and, you know, try to be a voice of reason where I can, but be a voice of resistance when I need to be. And also just do the hard work of meeting the needs in this district, showing up, understanding the things that need to happen from the top to the bottom of this long, great coastal district, and delivering results. That's what I love doing.
Once again, that was our representative for the North Coast, Congressman Jared Huffman, who is facing Republican challenger Chris Coulomb. KMUD News has invited both 2nd District congressional candidates to join us tomorrow evening during our live election coverage. That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Javier Rodriguez. And thanks to our reporters, Elise Cox and Suzanne Potter. Reporting from our studio in Redway, I'm Lauren Schmidt.